Well, on this Sunday closest to Remembrance Day, it seems, well, perhaps to some people it might seem a little disingenuous if I'm going to talk about Remembrance Day. I don't talk about Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I sometimes talk about how the lectionary doesn't help us with those. And yet, here we are on Remembrance Day. The lectionary doesn't say anything in particular about that either. And yet, in a very particular way, it does. The sermon title is about as simple as you can get this week. It's simply Remember. And when we think of remembering, all kinds of things jump into our minds. At least it does for me. It sort of depends on what frame of mind I'm in when I think of that word remember. It tends to take me back to when I was a kid for some strange reason. It's not like I didn't do anything yesterday that I couldn't remember, or the week before, but I go back to things that I first encountered when I was a child. The word just seems to trigger that historic jump into the past, and I'm not sure why. But I was thinking about that, and what might that mean? And I think part of it is that we begin to realize, the older we get, that in a very real way, some of the most significant things of our lives, some of the things that we do all the time now, started when we were children. And we remember them because they had an impact. Well, in Canada and in many other places, particularly in the Commonwealth, but in lots of other places in the world, there's a day that we set aside in November to remember a particular kind of thing. And we remember the sacrifices that veterans made on our behalf. And it's a peculiar thing, this whole idea of remembering this, because for many of us, not all here this morning, but for many of us, we're remembering things that happened before we were even alive. How does that work? How do we remember things that we never lived through? How do we pay attention to those things in the past that had an impact, but were not part of our lives the same way growing up in our homes were? Well, when I think of Remembrance Day, the first name that comes to mind without exception is David Marshall, someone that some of you knew. He was a long-standing pillar of the church at First Presbyterian in Regina, involved in his community there and in the larger church community. And he told me a fascinating story about when he went back to Holland to visit. He was part of the Canadian Army that liberated Holland. He was a tank commander. And as such, he was part of that whole experience. And he went back to visit decades later. And the thing that struck him and that strikes me at second hand even now wasn't just seeing the places that he had seen in a very, well, in a terrible time that were peaceful and that were reconstructed and all that. The thing that struck him was he was there as part of a celebration of the liberation, so people who saw tourists knew they might have some kind of a connection. And he talked about how people would come up to him and ask him what unit he'd served in. Well, first they'd ask him if he had served, and if so, then what unit he'd been part of, and he would tell them. And they would then tell him what his unit had done and where they'd gone and what they'd accomplished. And they were children. He said the thing that struck him wasn't that it was people of his own age, or maybe a little bit younger, who had lived through this. It was the children of those who had lived through, and their children, who knew what he had done on their behalf. He said it was one of those experiences that he barely even knew how to name, but it was extraordinary. And in a very real sense, they remembered something that had nothing to do with their actual lives as they lived through it, because they hadn't. But they remembered it anyway. That's what we do when we read Scripture. When we read, or when we have read for us the stories of Scripture, when we read about Ruth and Naomi, and that story of love between two women that transcended racial backgrounds and led to Ruth and Boaz getting together, having a baby named Obed, the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, who was part of the lineage of Jesus. When we read that story, we're reminded of all kinds of things. And in a very real sense, we remember it. And when we read the story that really triggered this whole thing for me, when we read the story of the widow, we remember it in a way, not just because it's a well-told story, but we remember it because of what she did. What's interesting is we don't know the name of this widow, but we don't know the name of those rich people either, because we don't need to know their names. Knowing what they did changes who we are. When we say we remember the story of the widow in the Bible, we don't remember it from the perspective of having been there, although it's such a vividly told story, even just a few lines. We can imagine ourselves there, can't we? Sitting with Jesus, watching people who are putting money into the offering pots, whatever they looked like. And if you're like me, you can imagine somebody who, well, actually looks a lot like I do now with this beard, I guess. But someone who looks a lot like me, who's concerned about their reputation, not just in a bad way, but is concerned about what people think about me, and I want to do what's right, making perhaps a bit of a show of putting whatever I have into the offering. And we sit there and we watch a widow come. We don't know how old she is, but it's obvious that she's poor. She puts in a tiny amount of money. Somebody worked it out. It's about 6 minutes' wages. That's her best guess. And if we're just sitting there watching this story, we don't really think too much of it, until Jesus says, this is what's actually going on. When we see people coming forward who are putting their money in, we're seeing different kinds of people. And what we saw first were people who had lots to give, and they gave out of all that they had. They're not condemned for giving. But Jesus says, when you want to talk about giving, it's this widow who's given the most. It's the widow that gave what she had to live on because of her devotion to God, not because she was showing off, not because she thought people would notice her and talk about how wonderful she was. And yet here we are, hundreds, thousands of years later, remembering this widow, remembering what she did, and measuring our own giving, whether it's to an offering plate, which is the easy one, or our own lives and our lives of generosity, and matching it up against her. And if I do that, I find myself a little wanting. But I look at the story of the widow, and it encourages me to do what it is that I can, and to realize that when we give all that we have, it's something that God notices. It's something that God says, that's the sign of somebody who gives in a way that most of us don't. And as we get ready for November 11th, we think the same. Conscription notwithstanding, you didn't have to go. There were ways out of service in the First and Second World Wars. There were ways out of Korea. There were ways out of all of these things. You could run away and hide. It was really hard, not like the movies show you, but you could pretend you were crazy, and they wouldn't send you overseas. You didn't have to go, but people went. And they went for all kinds of reasons. Some we know, and most reasons we don't. But what we do know is that some went at the cost of everything. And on Remembrance Day, and as we get ready for it on this Sunday, we remember those who were willing to give everything. And for lots of us, we especially remember those who did give everything. It's rare to meet someone who doesn't have some connection with someone who went to serve and never came back. My Uncle Alan was killed in 1944. Obviously, I had no connection with him. 1944 was long before I came along. But my middle name is Alan. When I was younger and more pompous, believe it or not, there was a time when I was considerably more pompous than I am now. I refused to wear a poppy. And people would say, why? I'd say, because I never forget. I always remember. Every time I look at my driver's license, every time I sign my name with that initial, every time I think about it, I think of where my middle name came from. Okay, maybe I wasn't pompous, perhaps a little pretentious. But it was a point I was making that I was aware of that sacrifice that he'd made. And it changed who I am. I don't know what I would have been like otherwise. There's nothing wrong with any middle name. But this one connected me with a sacrifice in a way that nothing else would have. Someday I hope to go to Italy and see where he's buried. Not because of some supernatural connection with a gravestone, but just as closing that circle. Because I received my middle name very intentionally in memory of my dad's half-brother. The memory of him matters. All of those things that we remember matter. I sometimes wonder what this widow thought of her life. And if towards the end of her life, when she knew that it was almost over, as many people do, they seem to be aware of the coming of death, I wonder what she thought. Did she think that we'd be talking about her thousands of years later? Did she think that she would be an example to millions of people of sacrifice? I doubt it. I suspect that her response, if you could somehow ask her some of those questions, would be very much the same as the response that you get from talking to people who did go and serve. And I think of talking to David, Jim, and Bill, and those other ones who went. And I remember asking, and I have asked them at various times, why did you go? Like, you knew what it was. Like, how could you do that? And they usually look at me like I'm kind of crazy and say, well, it needed to be done. This is what they did because of who they were, because this is the call upon them. The widow didn't give her two mites because she knew she was going to be an example for me in a sermon all these years later. The widow gave because that's what she did because of who she was. She gave to the work of God because she loved God. Those that we remember served because it was the thing that they were called to do. And we remember their sacrifice, which is appropriate and proper. And we do honor to them. But we dishonor them if we think they're somehow fundamentally different than we are. We dishonor them if we turn them into super people because they weren't super people. This widow was a widow like anyone of the time whose husband had died before she did. And those who went and served were the people just like us. Because if we turn them into super people, we can't take their example and say this will encourage us to do the same because they're fundamentally different than us, because they weren't. They were just like us. For many of us, when we think of those kind of people, we remember friends, relatives, who were just like us. And we remember their willingness and we remember their sacrifice. Because it's an example to us of what anyone can do. If they're willing to do what God's call is upon them. The call of this widow was to love the Lord her God with all her heart, soul, and mind, and her neighbor as herself, just like we talked about last week. And that's the same call that was on all those who went to serve. And it's the same call on us. We remember their service, and we remember them, whether we knew them or not. We remember what they did, whether we lived through it or not. Because we're people who are called to remember those who have gone before. And learn from what they've done. And take encouragement from what they did, knowing that we can do the same. Amen.